So appropriate that the stage is cleared here for Tiger. Can he do it again? Well, this would be another great example of why Tiger is Tiger.
Episode 83
of the Bump and Run Boys podcast. This is Blake Ross,
your boy Rob,
and Goose. Back at it, talking real estate development.
Real estate development. Orange County real estate development.
Scam.
It's a scam.
Who's the most popular player that wears number 83?
The most popular player that wears number 83.
Can you think of anyone that wears 83?
Well, it would be a wide receiver is what it would be. But 83 is like, man, I haven't seen that number in a minute.
It's an ugly number.
It is a terrible number. 84? Fire.
Way cleaner. 85 is cleaner.
Yeah,
come back
85?
In two episodes and ask that question.
82 is dookie. 83 is dookie. 87 ain't it. 86 ain't it.
87, I mean, that's Rob Gronkowski. I mean, come
it's
on.
It's not a great number, though.
Yeah.
Because 88's right there.
88, I think that's Marvin Harrison.
That's so
like,
clean.
Yeah, that's...
85 is super clean.
Ocho Cinco.
81 with T.O. There's a million receivers with 81.
81, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, dude, we got to look this up. We got to find... It's probably some fucking tight end or some shit like
but
that.
But I mean, we're only talking football right now.
Yeah.
But other sports... what number would you wear, Rob? 69? That's an O-line number, though. She, nah. 420? Blaze it.
Yeah, man, there's some terrible... 83 is a terrible number.
Yeah. Jahan Dotson?
Dwayne Allen.
Ricky Sanders.
Hiccup.
Yeah, not a good one. If you were a QB, what number would you wear?
Seven?
Why?
Yeah. I got that dog in me.
<'Cause you're Michael laughs>
You got that dog in you?
Jeez
Louise.
It's all allegations.
I don't know, man. QB? Oh, man. If I'm QB, I'm going 12.
Why? Just me, right?
TB, yeah.
Just fucking glaze.
TB 12. No, I mean, I like the number one. I don't know why. I've always loved the number one.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be the number one in baseball, so I was like, I'm going to be one.
It's a tough number. It's a lot of weight on that number.
You better be good.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
You better be solid. You can't be riding the bench. Number one.
Number one.
Warming up the bench. If you're in the single digits, you better be performing on the field. Otherwise, you're
That's
fucking
true.
You're dookie.
It's true.
If you're in single digits.
Yeah. If I'm a wideout, though.
You could be in the teens or the 80s now.
I was about to say, I love how they can be in like the teens or the 80s. If I'm a wideout, dude, I'm trying to be 11.
It's clean. Prime number.
Yeah, that's like AJ Brown type of number. Yeah, because Devontae Smith is 6 or something like that.
5 is always super clean.
5 is a good one. You don't like 87 for a tight end?
No.
I love what's a good tight end number?
88, we just said.
88? That's a wide receiver number. No
way. Tight ends wear 80s. What are you talking about? You just said Rob Gronkowski, 87. Tony Gonzalez.
What number were you when you went up to varsity?
I didn't play varsity.
You didn't go up for playoffs?
You're giving him way too
really?
Much credit, dude. He didn't play no varsity.
Sophomore year, I didn't
play. They didn't pull JV up to varsity for playoffs? And like
just stay on the sidelines?
Yeah.
No.
Still get a number.
Wait, let's talk about this, though. Why did you not pursue football your third year?
I had to get a job. Pay for my phone and car insurance.
That makes sense. Checks out.
It's real naysayer
did
stuff.
You,
right
did you want to play varsity football?
Honestly, no.
Okay.
No.
Dude, it's a lot, isn't it?
It's
like
a huge
football
commitment.
Season. Yeah, football season. And like even your senior year too. Like, could you imagine? I don't know. It's like your whole, I don't know.
Like once you're in varsity, that's Monday through Saturday. At least at my school.
I was about to say, you're practicing 5 days a week, no?
You played on Saturday?
Yeah, it was film from the game before. Film and walkthroughs.
Damn.
Because you played varsity, Rob?
Well, we got moved up sophomore year. Like, JV got moved up for, like, CIF playoffs.
Oh. Because you play at Laguna Hills, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was more of a charity event when we got moved up. We need as much people on the sideline to intimidate the other team.
I saw this fucking...
Rolling deep with, like, four buses. Yeah. Like...
Little do you know, the other ones are just the band members.
You were in the short one in the band. Oh,
yeah. I was holding it down.
It was a really funny video I saw on Instagram, and it was like, check out my highlight reel, nothing crazy. And it's a play that happens, and then at the end of the play, it circles a guy on the sideline. He's like... Who raises his fist in the air like,
yeah! That was me.
She was fucking hilarious. Some light, you know.
That's funny.
I mean, like, let's be real, though. There's only 24 dudes that are starting, you know? It's
That's
like,
true.
Not that many guys starting.
Like, only if we were, like, killing them or up were, like, people, like, JV going in.
That's when dudes got their letters, was because I think you had to play a certain number of downs.
I think.
To get your letter.
My freshman year, they pulled four freshmen up.
Holy to varsity?
To varsity.
Freshmen?
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think we had any freshmen playing.
And then they ended up playing in a few of the CIF games. And then I think sophomore year, they stayed on varsity. All throughout the rest of the high school.
Yeah, it's pretty rare for freshmen to play varsity sports. You have to be fucking good.
I think it was a center, a QB, a running back. And I think a receiver.
Damn,
that's
running
really impressive.
Back?
Yeah,
that's either a depth problem, or yeah, those guys are superstars. Because a lot of time you're a freshman, you're like 14, and you're like learning the beginnings of the offense.
You're playing against grown ass men.
Well, you're playing against kids that have probably taken some stuff.
Oh,
I mean,
for
that's
sure.
That's the thing. You're playing against, and 14 years old, you probably haven't taken no stuff yet.
That's true. Because then you like think of like your senior year class in varsity, and you're like, nah, I'm like 4 years ago, these dudes were fucking seniors in college playing on a high school field.
I know. Football, man. Have you guys been following college football at all?
No.
Man,
no.
I'm like almost happy I'm not involved with college football. I know we've talked a lot about how we would have loved to go to like an SEC school or go to like a college that had a sweet like football program, like with a big stadium and do that whole thing. But I do like how I'm not dedicating whole weekends to football, because especially now with like the betting and how popular that's become, like, dude, there's grown ass dudes that spend their entire weekend just gambling and just caring about money lines and college and NFL. But in other news, in the Ace League for fantasy, playoffs starting.
Ooh.
And unfortunately, so Rob, you want to know how unlucky James is?
What?
So James started out 3-13.
Tough start.
In our league, 3-13. And by the way, we do a median.
Yeah, the median.
The median scoring. So that means that, what is that? 8 weeks into the season, and his matchups and median, he only had 3 wins. He was 3-13. He finishes the season on a 10-win streak.
Damn.
So 5 weeks in a row, beats the median and wins his matchup.
It gets even better.
And then, so now there's, the way it broke down, Rob, there's the top three, six make the playoffs. Top three have already clinched. So there's three playoff spots up for grabs. There's two teams at 14-12, me and Rich. And then there's one spot, and there's three teams competing that are 13-13. So you got three teams at 13-13. And so James's team had a 46-point differential between the best ranked 13-13 team. And James, this last week, got the second most points, and his team went off. He scored 150-something fantasy points. But he played the guy who scored the most points. The other team had 189 fantasy points.
But it gets even better.
So, because he didn't win his matchup, I being the 14 and 12 team, I ended up beating the median and winning my matchup. So I was a lock. And then Rich, he was 14 and 12, and he got the median, I believe. And so he went 1-1. So now James is competing for the last playoff spot, but the there's one team that went 2-0. And if James would have beaten his matchup, he would have been in by like a super slim margin, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So yeah, no, James is SOL. I think you finished 7th. Yeah, I finished 7th.
But the guy I played against who put up 190 wasn't even going to make the playoffs.
Oh yeah, that's yeah.
Oh, what the fuck?
Crazy.
Yeah. So now we're into the playoffs, and so the way it works is Andy got a bye. Anthony Ortiz, you guys, I don't believe either of you have met him. He locked in the first place, so he gets a bye. And I play Sammy Sullivan in the playoffs, and this dude has won this league 2 years in a row. So my team got to step up, because ain't nobody trying to see Sammy Sullivan in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and in a finals matchup 3 years in a row. There's ain't no
true.
Way.
That's true.
But yeah, James, super unlucky. I mean, hell of a fight. I mean, just, man, he did everything he could. Picked up the right players at the end. I mean, just team made the right trades. Like, did literally the best he could.
Yeah.
The best he could have.
Yeah.
Did you regret dropping or trading anyone at any point? That ended up going off after they weren't performing.
Kind of.
Well?
I mean, I definitely made mistakes, but... like Blake said, I did, you know, turned it around for sure.
Yeah, that's good.
I think the only thing I would have done different, or the only, like, when I look back at his team and his results, the only thing I would have considered doing is making a switch at quarterback, like, earlier.
Okay.
Or just having alternatives, or kind of, because...
Well, hindsight, I would have changed him a long time ago, but...
Yeah. Because it's hard. I mean, when you have a name player like Patrick Mahomes as your starting quarterback, you're just on a team that's winning.
They're playing
winning football, and you have, like, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. You assume that he's going to produce fantasy results, but the truth is he doesn't rush a lot, and he's had really poor statistical outputs.
They've been winning games, again, by, like, three-point margins.
Yeah.
And, like, Patrick Mahomes hasn't been an absolutely, like, crucial part of that.
So it's like their defense has been stepping up.
They definitely have a better defense this year. But again, they're winning by slim margins, and Patty is definitely like a playmaker. Does that translate to like 30 plus points a week in fantasy? It hasn't been this year.
Yeah,
frankly, you know.
So do you think he's more dying out as like that go-to fantasy player?
No. I think as a fantasy player.
Well,
yes.
I think that he doesn't have this year, the weapons that he used to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had Ray Rice earlier in the year, and Ray Rice was having a phenomenal year, but then he tore his ACL. And just Travis Kelce is just kind of older and aging and not really producing like the crazy numbers that he used to as a tight end. And they just don't really, they're not known for having like a huge depth at wide receiver when they should. Like, they should give Patrick Mahomes weapons, but the truth is he wins games without strong offensive weapons, so it's like,
yeah,
you know, why would the team invest a bunch of money if they don't have to?
True.
But because, man, like, if James had, like, he could have had Jaden Daniels in like the 11th, like he could have picked up just like a random like rookie quarterback, and
I don't think it would have made a difference in the end, though.
No,
you know what I mean?
No,
like, yeah, for as far as like optimization, I could have made a couple different moves. Would I still end up playing a guy who went 190 this week? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that pretty much, it's like all that just to get knocked out at the end.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Damn. Yeah, it's so competitive, Rob. It really is.
Yeah.
And especially with the median scoring, it's like you have to draft well and be competitive on the waiver wire. I mean, fantasy is a crazy game. It really is.
Yeah.
But we're competing for that trophy and that cash.
There you go.
Did we do trivia last week? I don't think we did, right?
No, we ran out of time.
We did. We went long last week.
Yeah, we sure did.
Long dick.
Long dick.
Feel bad.
Oh, terrible for the listeners out there. Didn't get their trivia fix. Rob, do you still have those cards or those thingies?
I have the app.
You have the app? All right.
Let's see what I got.
Yeah, let's see what we got.
I like when we all contribute to the pod.
Do we
we all bring something.
Do we need to do a gold gun recount for Black Ops 6? Because I'm very curious about where you two are at.
We can, sure.
Because that's what I want to do right now.
SVD is the one I don't have gold.
It's the only primary. Yeah. Yes.
You have all the other primaries gold?
What about the new shotgun? You have that gold?
No.
All right. The trick is for that gun, use it in hardcore.
The shotgun?
Yes. That way it's a one shot. You just walk around, blast it off, and it's keep going. Because that gun in normal and core, that's dokey butter.
Not great.
I need Stakeout 24/7 to come back like yesterday.
I like having the option of Stakeout 24/7 for sure.
Because the other maps, they just don't do it. Damn, that's crazy. So go ahead, Rob.
I'm up to 25 gold.
Okay.
All ARs diamond.
Does that include the goblin?
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah, I have them all diamond except SVD.
I have all subs.
That's not true, because I don't have the sniper's diamond.
I see.
Because I can't.
I have all subs gold except for the jackal, but everything else is diamond.
Damn, okay. That'll be a fun one to get, because the jackal's a great weapon.
Yeah. All LMGs diamond. Working on marksman and the last sniper rifle right now.
How many marksmen do you have gold?
Just a SWAT.
Just the SWAT. Okay, so you're like me with the marksman. I only have the SWAT gold. I did a count today. I have 19 gold weapons.
There you go.
Nice.
I'm cooking. Yeah. I'm really cooking. And I've started to work on diamond for my assaults and my SMGs. So I have the KSV SMG diamond, and I have the AS Val diamond. And yeah, I'm just kind of slowly doing those, but I'm kind of focusing more now on the marksmans and the LMGs.
Yeah.
And so now on my next permanent unlock, what do you guys think is the strategy? Because I have both of the LMGs gold.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, and then I'm working on the SVD to try and get a gold, but I have the first one gold. So I can either on my next unlock, I either can do the sniper or the LMG, because they're both like really late. You don't get them till really late, so that I can start working on the diamonds. What do you recommend, or what would you do?
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
So I didn't use an unlock one prestige. So I had two when I went into this last one. I think prestige 6. So I did the last LMG and the last sniper.
Solid.
So I used both of them on a gun. The SVD, you do get a skin later. Like one of the prestiges.
Mm-hmm.
So that whenever you get a skin for the gun, you automatically unlock it.
I see. That makes perfect sense.
Like if you get the blueprint, I guess.
Right. Do you know, Rob, so you seem to know all this information. Do you get a blueprint for either the last LMG or the last sniper at any point during this?
No, I just finished the non-paid.
I see.
Thing, but no, I didn't get any blueprints for those two guns.
I see.
I did get one for the AEK and the DMR, or the whatever, the DM10.
Okay.
So those two popped up automatically for me.
Sweet.
So I was happy. I didn't have to use it on that.
Yeah, no, that's really solid. Because, yeah, I mean, I think I did what you guys did. So I used my first two unlocks on Stim and Gunfighter.
Yep.
I just think that, yeah. I mean, for the LMGs specifically, I think without Gunfighter, it can be a little tough. Because that gun needs a silencer because, like, the tracers and everything, like, I don't know, it's like, but the and just like the recoil, it's like if you don't just throw the kitchen sink at the recoil, it's tough.
So when I started doing my diamond challenges, I put the recoil spring on all my guns. I completely changed the build for my diamond.
Really?
Just to get it faster.
I see. I don't know, I think on the LMGs, the FMJ is so good though.
Yeah.
You just fucking mow the walls and just fry people.
I always use FMJ.
I've switched it back, but FMJ for sure.
So I hate not getting a kill because I don't get the wall bang.
Yeah,
like I'm lighting someone up and I'm hitting, you know, some of the frame around them or something, and it's not quite You know, it's getting them like one damage per bullet. Yeah. I can't stand that.
And they're just sitting there
and then
staring.
I die and I'm just like, fuck.
Yeah.
I hate that. Or like when you're playing a Gala and there's someone sitting like top middle, you know? I wall bang that thing all the time. Because people crouch down and I still just keep spraying.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's smart.
Same thing with snipers too. I always have FMJ. Assuming I have Gunfighter, I have FMJ on.
Sure. With snipers, it makes a lot of sense because it's going to be one shot to the chest, arms, and head. And if you're going for headshots, it's like you don't really need the overpressure.
Mm-hmm. What did you say the barrel was for the sniper that gives you leg shots?
CHF.
The CHF on the snipers is like increase the leg damage or leg shots.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So that's the barrel that gives you like a headshot multiplier typically. But you don't need a headshot multiplier on a sniper, right?
No.
It's already 110% or whatever.
Right.
So they add it to like hands and legs.
Yeah. I would have never read that on the snipers.
So I wonder if people do that for like quickscopes because you know you're going to whiff something.
Yeah.
So as long as you get like a hit.
Maybe I should be using that. Because like the SVD gets a lot of hit markers, I feel like. Not a lot, but if you're missing like
the most out of the three. SVD definitely gets hit markers.
The other two pretty much don't, unless you hit him like in the foot.
Yeah, you can hit him in the chest with the SVD and it's like, ugh. And then it's like, all right, I got to double tap your ass. That's annoying.
Yeah. SVD, you got to hit him like nips up. Otherwise, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
So, James, are you guys both working on... Well, you seem like you have definitely a few weapons to go. Because if you guys have, what, 22? Yeah,
I have 25.
Oh, 25?
Yeah, so I have another, what is that, 7?
Yeah, I think it's 33 is the number.
Okay, yeah, so 8 more.
So that's pistols, too?
Yeah, that's it. So that 33 includes your pistols, your...
But it doesn't include...
The new weapons.
Yeah.
But you can get the new weapons. You can skip which one, as long as you get 33 diamond or you can still move on to,
so
like,
it seems like
one.
The siren's gonna be like definitely a weapon that you're gonna grind.
I'll mess around with it eventually.
I have 50 headshots on it already.
Yeah, there you go.
I haven't even touched it.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty weak, but like whatever. I mean it's way better than you know working on a pistol or something like that.
I forgot about how fun the Tonto was going back to get a diamond.
Yeah,
I was like, damn,
you can fry people with this thing.
Yeah. Because, I see people just mounted, just blasting it. I'm like, how is that killing me so quick? I'm like, oh, you're using the damn Tonto. I'm like, all right.
Has a lot of damage.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what my strategy should be for, especially because the fire. What about, James, what about knife? You have the knife gold?
No.
Oh, really? See, that one's not too difficult either because it's not headshots, it's just kills.
I just started it.
Like, it's fun. It's kind of fun.
Like, yeah. It's really not hard.
If I'm getting knifed by people and I'm like, all right, I'm about to pull mine out and kind of thing and just go off.
I see.
Like stakeout, it's easy.
Dude, movement you can get out of it is so crazy. Sliding, just moving left.
You do get a lot faster. And then I put gung-ho fast hands and double time on it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Be breaking ankles out there.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely been so irritated a guy just zigzagging at me and just fucking just slicing my shit.
You gotta have stems too, just in, as you're getting a shot, just stem up and knife. I gotta work on the baseball bat and the drill.
Okay.
Those two I would say play hardcore. So they were one shot, one tap instead of a two hit.
Really? I see.
Unless you power up your hits, but then you have to do the whole emote, like the whole fucking drill to the throat.
I didn't realize that. So that's what that is?
That's like their power up.
What do you mean by a power up, though?
So you would press, for us, it's your aim button, which you would aim in with. That's how you power up the drill or the baseball bat. Or you're hitting them twice.
Right.
With the drill, what's the animation if you hit them twice?
You just like
where poke. Are you just like just, open their, you just open you, their neck up and just...
No, that's the powered up.
Yeah,
one.
It's the power up. Right. But if you're
but
just...
if you don't power up, just, saying, what
just,
is the
you're
animation?
You're just poking them.
Oh, that's gay.
Yeah.
That's lazy.
It's not as fun.
I don't think you should have to power those things up. But
no.
Maybe there's a middle ground somewhere there.
Yeah. Yeah, the melees, it seems like they would be not super difficult to get. Like definitely some time, but not like over, not like
not like not 100 like, headshots.
Not
right?
like yeah. yeah, not like 100 headshots with a pistol. That's the one that just ugh.
Because it just kills.
The pistols?
No. The like the melees.
Right.
The
melees are just that's kills. What I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to pistols.
So if you're averaging headshots. Like what? Let's say you average 10, you're just gonna get what 10 games in, you're done.
Yeah.
Stakeout, you can easily rack up 30 plus but
then
kills. But
then when you get to the goal, it's still double.
Yeah, no, the double kills and stuff yeah. like that. Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge, but it's not, because you only have to do it 10 times, so.
I think one of them is get a kill without taking damage.
That's fine.
30 yeah. times or something like that.
You just camp a corner and just slice somebody open.
Pretty I think much. That'll come naturally. Oh, like, yeah, you can just sprint around. If you catch someone behind, they're not going to do any
damage. How many AFK people you get, or how many times do you... run the balconies around the kitchen and they're just sitting there mounted,
mm-hmm.
not paying attention to the left or the right.
We're going to talk about how Racket's not very good.
Man, the problem with Racket is that I think the map has somewhat, there's some potential there. Like I like the things that you can mount on and stuff like that. But man, I get shot in the back way too often for that map. Way too often, and every little you don't even realize it when you're shooting at somebody that like there's so many little angles across the whole map that where you can just get shot at that you're not even that aren't common areas to
yeah.
look
yeah
like whether they're like in the cage and they can like peek over or like anybody that's middle like you know
can, I almost never go in the middle of that map like
no you're, I can't that's a death
because
sentence.
Like you said like if you know, there's the three lanes, and you're going down the middle one. So you have the two doors left and right of you. And then you have the bulldozer. So you have, you know, two lanes on either side of the bulldozer. And then you have these lanes looking at you. And then you yeah. have these doors looking at you. It's like damn near 360. I almost never, like, capping B there is fucking hard.
So I run around in circles around the bulldozer.
That's what I do.
I do that.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah. I'm going to keep running. If I start getting a shot at, you just dip out one direction, like one way, and you just,
it's like Shipment is a better designed map than that.
Oh, 100%.
It's also a small grid, but it has more character.
I feel like for Ratchet, they took Stakeout, they copied and pasted it and just filled all the gaps, moved some stuff around, and just,
I think Ragged's a little bigger. I like the size of it, but
it's a great size. Ah, oh, man, that middle area, yeah, just, it needs a little bit of help. It really does.
And then you can, there's those fucking rooms where you can get up on, like, the money piles and see through.
You can't throw your grenade through that window.
Good.
I've killed myself so many times doing that shit.
Because now that adds, like I said, if you're running through that middle lane, now you have doors, windows above you, the far windows above you. The two lanes on either side of the bulldozers, and your left and right. It's like,
yeah. So sitting,
how do you possibly scan all that
yeah,
at once?
Sitting up there, you have two good angles: one spawn and people running this, like running across. It's a fucked map because people just lay down and you spawn right in front of them and just blast you. You're like, what just happened?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I definitely enjoy the game when I'm playing it with you guys, and like I play it casually now, and I'm like, hey, this is like a mainly enjoyable experience, but there's no denying that there are some glaring flaws in the game design.
The maps
and just the maps are very mid, very, very mid. At least the respawn maps that we play a lot, like Warhead, Gala, I mean,
they're not without like good qualities, but there's definitely like big problems.
Yeah,
like,
but and I think that we actually need to have a discussion about spawns and how that might be worse than the map pool.
I think after
how
the
bad
first
the spawns
update,
are.
Yeah, after the first update, I saw a huge downfall in the spawn locations.
Stakeout has really bad spawns.
Really
it's
bad.
It's hard.
I mean, yeah, like,
it's hard. The smaller map you make, the harder it is to spawn.
Yeah, I give Stakeout a pass just because it is so small, and if you get 12 players on it, yeah, it's gonna be really difficult to have good spawns.
Spawn in the bathroom?
Dude.
The fuck are you supposed to do?
That's also a death sentence. You can't. Yeah. It's the worst.
I mean, you're going to take one bullet crossing that bathroom.
And you yeah, wait. I don't know if my teammate's on this side or on this side.
I just see bullets and I just yeah. wait and just sprint and it's like.
Like slide under.
Yeah.
Shoo. Yeah, the spawns are bad. Spawns are really bad. They're really, really bad. And they drive me nuts on certain maps, too. Like, I can't tell you how many times on Heirloom, just, you know...
That's a bad one.
You open up the map, like, and, like, you guys will be having gunfights, and then out of nowhere, like, you just get some guy that just spawns behind you.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of no... It happens way too often.
Yeah. I mean, usually that's a symptom of someone pushing into their spawn too far. Typically, that's a sign of, like... One of our guys is balls deep in their shit.
That's usually me.
Yeah.
And, like, you fuck up the whole spawn, because now they have to go back there, and then...
Well, there was a few times on Gala I noticed where you're in a sniping battle across the map, you die, you pop up behind them or next to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen.
You go kill them.
You should never spawn in the sight line of another person.
That is true.
Maybe a teammate, but you should never spawn and, like, be visible to other people, or you see other people. That's not...
Well, it's kind of like good. On Stakeout, where people spawn on the balcony and people already have that sight
line. Yeah, that should not happen.
No. That's definitely happened, and I've done it to people too, where I just fry someone who just spawns in on the side of balcony.
You have to.
Of course. And another gripe that I wanted to talk to you guys about is generally speaking, I think that the reload time is like a hair too long than it should be, considering how fast-paced the game is played. And I don't know why, because to me it seems like an easy fix. There should be some sort of perk to speed, reload speed, or an attachment, some
fast mag,
some way fast mag.
That's not fast enough.
Yeah, but fast mag is you're lowering the default rate
Yes, there should be sleight of hand. I'm with you. It's weird that there's no perk or like attribute to like have that as an option. A, B, they offer you it via flip mag, fast mag, or whatever. But yeah, that the huge penalty of I need extended mags on everything.
Why?
Everything, basically.
With fast mags, you're not getting multi kills.
I'm getting like a 20 round, which is absolutely nothing.
None of the good players would ever tell you
that. Though, standard.
I need at least like a 45 round mag. Like, I need it.
Yeah.
Because again, the multi kills, and when we're playing these tiny maps, multi kills are like always
huge.
How many times do you get triple kills? It happens all the fucking time.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I just think that fast mag. I never
use it.
Yeah. It's just not. The truth is, it's just not a good attachment. I mean, that's the big issue. It's like I don't know why. Like for me, it'd be such an easy fix. Like either like it'd be a green perk, and you can either pick flak jacket or you could pick fast mag.
Why?
I pick flak jacket every time.
I think there's at least a debate between doing flak jacket or sleight of hand if it's a perk that's available.
Why isn't fast hands have it?
Makes no sense. Yeah.
Fast hands or gung ho, whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like tap it onto something else.
Or even like the fucking specialty.
They're putting in new perks. So why can't they just do that? Or yeah, like you're saying, like, why can't it be like maybe a wild card?
No, a wild card would be like I still want the cost to be high. Like I don't want it to just be like where it's like the only perk that makes sense to run.
That's like that's a game breaker. That can be.
But yeah.
Tell me which gun is it where when you reload they take it out, tap it on the side of the gun and then put it in. It's like just fucking reload the gun and move on. Like why are you doing all this extra shit?
I mean, we could talk about animations all day. Let's wrap this shit up. When you're getting baseball batted and you got to sit there and watch that shit. Fucking gay.
Yeah.
I guess that's the penalty is that you got someone rolled up on you.
Taken hostage or some dumb shit like that.
The hostage part's fun.
I feel like as a hostage, you should be able to kill yourself.
Or fight back.
What if the animation was you pull a gun out of your pocket and just... just glaze the side of your forehead.
Or like someone takes you hostage and then you both go to the gulag or something like
that.
That
would be cool.
That'd be cool. Huh?
That would be really cool.
Go play Warzone then, yeah?
Just an idea.
I see.
But what about, because they had this in Modern Warfare 3 where like, gunsmith is great. I love all the attachments.
Sure.
I love all that shit. It used to just be you want a red dot.
Yeah.
You got one attachment and then they added bling and you could have two.
Whoa.
At a huge penalty of not having sleight of hand or scavenger.
Yeah.
But the point being, Modern Warfare 3, they had attributes on the gun. So, like, each gun you could have a little perk and it would be like kick. So now the gun has slightly less kick or flinch resistance. But now they add that into...
They really have that?
Yeah.
I was missing out.
But now they add that via like a stock. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there is no stock that makes your reloads faster. The reload faster is fast mag at the huge penalty of a smaller magazine, which is just not an option.
It's just not. I mean, the truth is that because the game is so fast paced, like you don't necessarily want to be reloading a lot, but man, like if there, so that's why fast mag is just, it's not even worth it. 'Cause it's like, how many lives do you reload more than once? I mean, on average, you might reload like one time a spawn.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very rare that you reload two or even three times. Very rare.
Mm-hmm.
And considering like what arcades are like all around the 1.4s. So it's like every life, it's like, yeah, you probably reload once. So it's like, why like that fast mag? It's like, it just doesn't make sense. You need, like, I'd rather have the extended mag option and like for the possibility of getting a multi kill. I feel like without, yeah, I don't know.
I always run extended mag one, at least on basically everything.
Yeah, same.
There's no penalty, basically, on extended mag one. You know, the one that doesn't affect your ADS sprint?
Right.
I got to run it.
You have to.
I also run suppressors on basically everything, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Unless we're playing, like, stakeout, maybe, but I just prefer it. I like the sound, too. Conspiracy.
Let's hear it.
Oh boy.
I don't know about you guys, but I've been paying a lot of attention to the healthcare CEO.
Uh-huh.
So fascinating. But now people are saying that that's a conspiracy. Like, isn't it awfully convenient that they found this guy, you know, with a 3D printed gun, fake IDs, you know, like, it seems like this guy's, it's a possibility that this guy's being set up for some bigger scheme, if that makes sense, you know? It sounds possible, is all I'm saying.
So do you think that he was the one who did it, or he just got caught up and they're just trying to pin it on him?
Probably more likely the second option of, like, government sets up somebody to take a fall kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or United Healthcare decides to set up a... Because there's a lot of weird circumstances. I wanted to read some of the things I saw today.
Oh, yeah. Like, the one thing I was reading is that, like, oh, his family is, like, ultra wealthy. Like, ultra, ultra wealthy.
Hmm. He comes from a wealthy family. He's a really smart guy. Valedictorian at a private school.
Can't they just be like, yeah, it wasn't me?
What do you mean?
Like, the guy, like, his defense, like...
Well, yeah, I mean, but...
No, the burden of proof lies on the prosecution, always, to prove that someone did something rather than... You have to defend yourself, but... They have to prove without a shadow of a doubt, convince 12 jurors. He's right now, he's in PA. He's in Pennsylvania for the gun charge. And New York obviously wants to extradite him to charge him for murder and stuff like that. I thought this was weird. The CEO, right? So he has security, like, in Minnesota all the time. He has security because a lot of these high-paying CEOs have security. Mm. He just didn't have it in New York City.
Interesting.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, no kidding.
He also... The suspect had severe back pain. Did you guys read about that?
I did.
Yeah. He had, like, back surgery. He had, like, excruciating back pain. And he had, like, screws and shit in his back.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a good motive, I guess. I don't know. If your life is that miserable at 26, that's crazy. But...
Yeah.
So much so that you're willing to kill somebody. It's not going to fix your back pain.
I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's I don't know. All of it just kind of a head scratcher, you know? It's, for me, I just, like I said, I always default to just, like, who's really losing out here? Like, do I want to believe that this kid who's, like, yeah, like, there's a lot of evidence that would point to, like, well, like, his health is bad. And, like, obviously, it's probably correlated to, like, decisions that the CEO has made. But it's, like, and, you know, all of, like, trying to build, like, create this case that, oh, this guy has a motive. But it's, like, or do I want to believe that, like, maybe there's, like, some organization or group of individuals who don't like the decisions that the CEO is making. And they're either... at risk of losing a lot of money, or they are losing a lot of money because of this guy's decisions, and like they're like, like we're really powerful and wealthy individuals, like why don't we try and keep the status quo and just try and off this guy and find a way, and then it's like, and we have the resources to like pin it on somebody. It's like, I don't know, it's like,
like we said, we touched on it last week, you know, the board can fire a CEO,
right?
But unless the CEO has like some blackmail or something, you know what I mean? Maybe that guy's got some secrets, and if he were to get fired, he would spill the beans on something. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, well, he was threatening to like drop the ball on people.
I don't know. Could be.
Boards typically don't fire CEOs unless they're really convinced that they're missing out on shareholder value. So
I'm saying it's an option. You don't have to kill them. I'm saying if they were coming at it from the perspective of like an organization.
Yeah.
And money motivates just about everything. So
sure.
I just feel like if you were to do this crime, you wouldn't be caught, what, like two states away?
It is surprising he had like a week and he ended up in Pennsylvania.
I would have been gone, where you don't extradite any, like, just leave.
You should leave the country.
Yeah.
First off. Unless he wanted to get caught, I don't know. Because part of me thinks, based on like, this is all speculation, all of this, but based on like testimonies from people, not official testimonies, but word of mouth from other people, that he, it almost sounds like he wanted to like have like a revolution, if that makes sense. That may be a strong way to put it, but he wanted to like spark change via like, you know, obviously he wrote on the bullets, that's super symbolic. He threw away his backpack and it was filled with Monopoly money as like another sign of criticizing the healthcare system and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people are joking about like other CEOs are now scared of like they're going to get fucking hit because, so I don't know, maybe his plan was like that, to start, like,
wake people
start
up,
a change. Yeah. Or like, he's like, you know, my back fucking hurts, I can't even, it said his like ex, not roommate, but like someone he shared an office with, said that he, the suspect, told this guy that he can't even have sex because his back hurts so bad.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he said it's like excruciating.
But didn't this guy get away on a bicycle?
Yeah.
Wouldn't his back be killing him?
Could pop painkillers.
It's true.
I don't know.
Just doesn't.
I don't know. How do you operate daily life with your back excruciatingly painful anyways? I don't know.
Yeah.
Get used to it to some degree or take medicine.
Do you, sure. Do you guys know, is getting like a silencer for a pistol, is that like a tough process, or is that
legally? Yeah, it's tough.
I see.
In New York, it's like impossible. I know, in a lot of, it's a federal thing, and you need to get a stamp. You need to be a firearms dealer, so you have to file as a FFL, right? Like federally,
something like that.
Firearm licensee or whatever. Have a tax stamp, pay money. It's possible. You just, probably not in New York.
What is a, like, I'm so curious, what does a silencer run? Is it like how many thousands?
I don't even know.
Really?
I don't know. So you can almost, you can't.
Is it
because
it's too? I was about to say it's too difficult to either find or purchase, I'm assuming.
I think that they legally make it so hard to purchase that, like, I don't even know where I'd start. He probably has a fake one. This guy has a 3D printed one. I doubt it's a real one.
Oh,
I'm sure he, because you can make a suppressor out of anything.
Sure.
This may not be an official manufactured one.
Gotcha.
It may be like, you know, people joke, people use like oil filters you screw onto the, you can use anything that muffles sound, could be a suppressor.
We'll have to cut all this.
Yeah. ATF, don't listen to it. But it could have been a, and the gun only had to work once, so
yeah,
could have been a piece of shit. It looked like it was malfunctioning,
it did
in the
jam.
Video.
Yeah,
looked like a piece of shit. I was also looking at 3D printed guns. Not illegal. Did you know that?
It's only legal if you have it connected. Like,
No. It's legal to manufacture firearms. You don't need to be a firearms dealer in the United States.
Just to sell?
Yeah. So you, California doesn't allow it. California is one of the only states where you need to file a serial number, right? Because guns are supposed to have serial numbers.
Yeah.
But if you live in Texas or Arizona, Florida, whatever, you can manufacture a gun. You don't have to register it. You can't sell it. No paperwork. Isn't that crazy? Not illegal.
I mean, this must be the Bugatti of 3D printers to be able to create a firearm, no?
Well, no, you only manufacture the bottom half of the gun, which is the plastic part that really doesn't have any moving parts. But you buy an official slide, the action and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
You buy that officially. That you don't need paperwork for.
Okay.
Like, we go online and buy that right now.
Okay.
Ship it to California. It's the bottom half that's serialized that is the gun.
Yeah, the bottom part of the gun's... The bottom part is technically, legally called the gun,
that's the registered part.
Yeah.
So if you manufacture like a Glock, tons of pistols are plastic now.
Yeah.
The bottom polymer is plastic. The part you grab is all plastic. So 3D printing one, not a big deal.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have a lot of heat. All that stuff's at the top. The sliding and the percussiveness, and that's all happening up top. The bottom holds a magazine and...
The trigger...
I mean, even then, the trigger's not even in the lower, basically. It's like part of the, at least in like an AR, it's like, well, it sits in the lower, but it functions in above the, it.
Yeah.
But anyways. So yeah, we could buy the slide right now for like $300 online.
Mm-hmm.
Buy a 3D printer, print the bottom, print the lower part, and then we'd have a gun, a functioning gun.
Oh my goodness.
You just need a 3D printer that can print, or I guess the material is strong enough.
But again, the lower doesn't even go through a lot of stuff of Glock pistol.
I've seen videos of it just like blowing up or folding over. Like,
that's usually, that's probably the upper though that's doing that.
Well, I think what Rob is saying is that you need something durable enough to like handle the heat that caused by the upper. No, is that kind of where you were going, Rob?
But a lot of that's contained upwards and it sprays outwards via the front.
Mm.
The gas escapes that direction.
Gotcha.
I'm just saying the bottom, like, is your polymer bottom ever get hot?
No.
There's no heat going on there. Heat also rises. So heat's not generated.
So maybe it is the upper that usually breaks, like a fully 3D printed.
Well, usually when things break, it's because of like a gas system malfunction and pressurization and then like explosion. Usually like AR-15s are more likely to like blow. Something, you know, like a pistol rechambers based on just like gas blowing backwards, not even, it's just a recoil that functions, that cycles it, you know. It's not even anything super complicated. Anyways.
Wow. Very interesting. Very interesting.
You could just, in other states, you can just 3D print.
You can manufacture any gun you want. Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
What are we doing with our lives?
We're living in the wrong state is what we're doing.
Living in the wrong state. If you guys had to move to another state right now, where
Arizona.
You, Arizona?
Yeah.
What about you?
Arizona's not bad. I'd probably pick Texas. Max lives there.
A lot of crackheads in Arizona.
A lot of drug use in Arizona.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll tell you what, though. Scottsdale, not a bad place to be.
It's the Irvine of Phoenix.
Go like, yeah,
so expensive.
Go 15, 20 minutes south of there, and you're like, where the fuck am I?
Yeah, go 15 minutes north of Irvine. Where are you at? Anacrine?
Yeah.
St. Anna? MS-13 territory. Fuck, man.
Anything north of Irvine's not that great.
No. Unless you go to like Yorba Linda, that's more like inland.
Well, like, you know, north. What about Costa Mesa? I mean, you're going to give Costa Mesa some love?
No.
That is southwest, technically, via like compass.
That's still
is it really? From Irvine?
Newport Beach. From where we are, yeah. You would take the 55 south.
I guess you're right.
And even though the 55 south runs diagonally.
Yeah.
If you were to look at a compass, granted, Southern California kind of runs like this.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And the 55 South runs like that.
Right.
57, sorry. No, 55.
55.
55 South.
55
which takes
57,
you right to Costa Mesa. It is south of here. True. Cardinally speaking.
Yeah. No, I guess that makes sense. That checks out.
Costa Mesa's got some bad parts.
Yeah. But Newport Beach is obviously like super nice.
Newport Beach is lovely.
Unless you're on the border of Newport and Costa Mesa. That's still a sketch.
I don't know. There's so many like little pockets in Costa Mesa that I would love to be in.
Newport feels super fake to me. Does it feel like that to you?
Boy, does it. Oh, my
Irvine does too.
Goodness.
There's a lot of like facade.
I feel
But Newport is definitely like the bougier, like.
All of PCH from Newport Boulevard. 55, like where it ends, all the way down to like Laguna Beach, It's just, I feel like it's super fake.
Dude, I saw...
Feels fake.
I went to Newport Beach recently. We went to just go get pokey or fish, whatever. I forget, what is the place called? I forget the place's name, but anyways, it was in Newport Beach, and like, you just see all kinds of people. You see this guy pull up, pulls in the Cybertruck. Of course, it's wrapped with a Happy Dad logo. This guy hops out the whip, just full head to toe, like, Happy Dad shirt, Happy Dad hat, like just dripped out Happy Dad, and you're just like,
is that the seltzer?
It's what's, yeah, it's like, it's like the Nelk Boys, like
that
product.
Dude's a day one meat glazer.
And I'm just like am I in a simulation right now? Like it's just, you're just looking at this guy and you're like, there's no way that you have an affiliation with that company, or like, maybe
I hope so,
like, you better. But yeah, just like, I'm just like, man, like, why do people gotta be like this, you know? It's like,
that's,
it's
such an
so
LA
weird
thing. That's,
yeah,
such an, which I don't like LA because of how fake it feels and like artificial. There are cool parts, obviously, but like as a whole, the whole like influencer facade, I don't like any
it's,
of that.
It's weird. We were sitting down and it's just like, the, like, you know, you eavesdrop on some conversations and like, you would, yeah, like what people, oh, yeah, talk about, you're just like, man, like we really do live in like a shallow type community. It's like, dude, this, it's like a girl, like fucking, they're just gossiping about their boyfriends, like bitching about stuff. And you're just like, man, like, like, it's just, to me, it's just like, you're not happy, like, with your situation. Like, why are you just, like, gossiping, just being, like, bitchy and just, like, you know, you're at this, like, wonderful, like, seafood place, like, a nice setting. It's like, oh, we're just gonna, and it's like, every, I feel like a lot of tables are like that. It's like, unhappy, but, like, you know, it's like, the personality's on the outside, you know? It's like, mm-hmm, oh, like, I'm wearing facade, this brand, this, yeah.
And, I mean, a lot of people attribute that to the, to all of Orange County, too, being fake.
Yeah.
Definitely have a...
I feel like that's more South Orange County. It's just more fake. North Orange County is on another level.
You gonna live there?
Fuck no.
No, just OC especially, yeah. I mean, the coastal has a fake vibe.
Yeah.
Irvine feels too perfectly planned sometimes. There are parts that I like, but it feels very much like manufactured. This is supposed to look authentic, but it doesn't feel authentic.
Yeah,
it's definitely safe.
With the thing about Irvine is super vanilla, but it, I feel like it nails its niche really well, because Irvine is like, it's, to me, it's like suburban utopia for families. It's like, oh, yeah, like
wealthy,
these schools are here, it's all great, like there's this whole ecosystem with like the shops and the malls, and like everything is like flat.
It's too perfect.
It's a lot of flat, and like all of the apartments look the same. Like all of the houses are right next to the school.
Like I said, it's too perfectly master planned.
But
it's so well thought out, it lacks character in a sense. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It didn't like organically rise up. It was very much like master plan. Like you look at the grid above the 55, everything's very grid, which also has its problems. It's ugly too. But then south of it is all this like fake, like all the streets are weaving when really they don't need to. Like, I notice that a lot. Like, a lot of, like, you know, they make it look like you're strolling through, like, a pasture. Meanwhile, like, they don't have to do this. Like, they wanted the illusion of...
There's so many fucking hills.
You're following the landscape. There are.
There's so many hills.
But I'm just saying, like, streets are artificially curved, yeah, to make it look like... I don't know.
I couldn't just go straight. Like, just make this road
East
straight.
Yale loop. Boring, but, yeah.
East Yale loop. My dumbass actually took the whole loop looking for a street, didn't find it, and I was like, wait, this looks familiar.
Just going around in circles.
Mia's like, yeah, you just did an entire loop, and I was like, oh,
hence the loop or circle.
Oh god,
or court.
Felt like such an idiot. Idioto. Yeah, I got a big old flight tomorrow. Going to Mexico.
Nice.
Mexico. Got a wool suit.
Playing golf?
I mean, probably not. I mean, I'm going to look into it.
Man, you're going to be in the middle of nowhere. Those 1.2 million people.
Yeah, no, you keep saying that, but bro, I'm telling you, like, it's not, like,
the way you put it was like, you're going to be just in fucking Area 51.
Well, like,
but you're not going to be that far from civilization.
All I know is that the day before the wedding, they're doing like a cenote thing, and they organized it, and they have to drive like an hour and a half to get to this damn cenote. You know what a cenote is?
A cave,
I'm assuming
underwater
you do.
Cave.
Yeah,
but that's not where the wedding is, though, right?
No, wedding is
okay,
like
well.
Wedding is like 30 or 45 minutes away, but we have like shuttles for that.
Want to hit us with the trivia?
Yeah. I didn't really have a trivia question, but I did want to talk about our favorite types of cuisines and your favorite dish from said cuisine. Okay. Because I feel like I've been on like an Italian kick recently, and I feel like I've always been craving chicken parmesan, because I'm a big chicken parmesan guy. Is there any, what are your top two cuisines and your favorite dish from said cuisine?
I love Mexican food.
Mexican?
I don't know if I can pick one.
You don't have a favorite Mexican food or dish?
I mean, I love like street tacos.
I wouldn't consider that. Street tacos? No, that's fine. I don't think it's a dish. Totally fine. That's totally fine.
I love that. Or even just like a fucking Lupe's burrito or something like that. Like, I fucking love that.
There's one in Aliso.
There's a Lupe's in Aliso Viejo now?
Yeah, we're in a town center where Trader Joe's is.
Get the fuck out of here, really?
Yeah.
Damn. Lupe's really going everywhere.
Quesadilla, burrito, taco. Come on, man.
Well, I think, I don't know. Quesadillas, I don't know. I don't know.
You were just me riding quesadillas 3 episodes ago or whatever that was.
No, we had a conversation about what we would cook when we would get home from school, and I was like, one of the first things I learned how to cook. I certainly have grown up from that time in my life, okay?
I'm just saying you were riding.
That's not meat riding at all. That's not
No,
meat.
I said you were riding for him. Like you're holding day, the flag
day,
of
day
like,
one quesadilla.
This cock I'm gonna ride and
okay, all right. I'm upset. It's very clearly, in my eyes, not a top Mexican dish.
I'm just giving you Mexican options, man. Jesus.
You're telling me like fajitas or like enchiladas or like...
I do like enchiladas.
Enchiladas?
Sure.
I think carnitas is like a dish. I think carne asada is like a dish. I mean,
that's
like...
a meat.
Yeah, I know, but they're plated options that you can typically order at a restaurant. That's why I bring it up.
When I hear carne asada, I think of that a la carte specifically.
Yeah.
You add options to it, which make it into a dish.
Yeah.
Rob?
Damn. This is a tough one.
Yeah? Talk us through your thoughts.
I mean, you already took Italian.
Well, I mean, he could be into Italian right now, too. I don't know.
No, right now?
I love chicken carbonara. It's one of my favorites.
That's a good one.
With a nice big fat piece of garlic bread on the side.
No, yeah. I like...
maybe a glass of wine.
Always after
what is steak? American?
That's it.
I would call it American.
That's like one of my favorites.
I would call it American just because we grow so much beef here. So much cattle. It's like...
Chicago. That's what I... like, to me, that's like the ultimate meal out.
Fuck yeah.
Is a steak. And sides. Right?
I like Mexican food. Your go-to tacos.
Tacos your go-to?
Yeah.
Sounds like we need to make a Tacos Los Cholos run one of these days. Dude, do you actually think that Tacos Los Cholos is mid?
He doesn't like it, dude.
It was all right.
Is mid.
He got the chicken. All-time bozo move.
No, he did order like the two like worst proteins that you could have gotten from there.
You got to get red meat when you go there.
Yeah, I got cecina. It's my favorite cut of meat. Played it safe. I've never been there before. I played it safe.
You played it very,
and it was
very
decent.
Safe. Oh man, Tacos Los Cholos is so good.
Cecina.
Carne. Yeah. Carne.
I think you're in the minority when it comes to cecina, though, being like your favorite cut.
It's also more expensive than other and.
I mean, it's
normal
meat that gets pounded. Maybe that's why you like it. Pounded flat with their fist.
With a side of Jergens.
What about... you have your cards? Digital card?
Yeah, I got my digital card.
You have a question for us?
I would love a question from Bobbert.
Let's see here. Where do you most like to travel to, like, at this time of year?
Ooh,
December.
December. Oh man, actually, believe it or not, I think Mexico is a good call. December, January, because the weather's still solid. And but also, like, dude, like Hawaii this time. Love me some Hawaii. Other than that, I mean, I do think of, instead of tropical locations, I venture to winter locations. So I think, because I do like snowboarding, and so anywhere near the mountains, like either Mammoth, and or you could do like a Utah trip, Salt Lake City, or Tahoe, excuse me, do a Tahoe trip. I've never done the Colorado area, like Vail, and, you know, some of those other like bougie type resorts, just because why go there when I have Mammoth, you know, 6 hours away, 7 hours away. So yeah, those are the spots that come to mind in the wintertime.
Nice. James?
I think I just romanticize it, but, you know, something like Chicago or New York City.
Those are my picks.
Where it's like a wintry city.
Yeah.
That goes all out as far as, like, you know, the big trees and the...
Just a festive.
Just somewhere where, like, it snows, I think.
Everything's all decorated and Christmas, like...
I've never actually spent a Christmas there. I've been to those cities individually, but, like, not enjoyed it through Christmas. But I think I like the idea. That's all.
Be worth checking out. Man, the thing about the snow is it gets old fast.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's why I like to bob and weave in those cities. It's like you go in real quick and then you dip out.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, it's happened to me before, traveling to Boston in March. Like, the weather's so bad, it just snowed out 2 days, 3 days, can't catch a flight. And that shit sucks. Because if the airport's not open, guess what? A lot of other places are not open. Yeah. So you're just playing COD in your room or something. Like, I don't know what else you're going to do. Like,
doesn't sound that bad.
But, like, yeah, but obviously when you're on vacation, it's like, you know, this is not how you would want to spend your time. Like, in a business trip, it didn't suck as bad because it's like, well, I have a company card and, you know, they understand it's, you know, so you can just kind of fuck around and, you know, order room service, whatever. But it would really suck if that's like your actual vacation and then you get snowed in an extra 2 days, just cost money, you know, and then you're not doing anything. That's where you can get really unlucky.
The worst would be departing a vacation and...
Yeah. It sucks. It's terrible.
Granted, that's a coincidence of, like, the one day you're flying out, one out of 365, there is a snowstorm bad enough that you can't fly out.
Yeah. And it happens fast, man. It happens fast. It really does. It'll be fine, like, just cold and chilly, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's a fucking storm and it's snowing, and then it's, like, impossible to move around.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be really, really frustrating. I would like to visit Chicago. Chicago, Seattle, New Orleans, like, these are places that I would like to at least check out once in my life.
I've never done, like, Christmas Day in Chicago or New York, but I've definitely been there around Christmas.
Oh, that's sick.
So I did New Year's, did a week in Chicago 2 years ago, and I was there for New Year's.
Yeah, it's for your buddy's wedding, right?
Yeah. Didn't snow. I was disappointed.
What?
No, it was just 13.
Just cold as
it just
fuck.
13
just cold.
Degrees. Yeah,
that's the worst scenario. That
I was like, and like, people were even saying, like, oh, like, this is weird. Like, usually it's like dumping this time of year, and it's just like nothing. It had snowed like the week or two before, so like it was like dried up.
That's the worst case scenario. Yeah. It's freezing as fuck.
New York. I went there, I think, my sophomore year, for like a week. Right before Christmas, like during winter break, went to visit my aunt. And then she said, like, a day or two after I left, they had like the worst snowstorm they've had. And I'm like, dude, I would have loved to have been stuck there for the rest of my winter break.
Damn, dude. You would have loved it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. Something about being trapped, I don't like that feeling. I do not like that feeling of being trapped. Only if I like, being trapped in my own home is different than being trapped outside of my own space.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a big reason why I'm not more into winter sports. I like snowboarding a lot. Like, I like being on the mountain and, like, skiing or snowboarding. Like, that's like a really fun experience, but man, like the like just the difficulty of getting there sometimes can be a real pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And sometimes with like bad weather, it's like, man, like you're always, always, always taking a chance.
When was the last time you went snowboarding?
It's actually been a while. I've gone, I think of, oh, actually, no, I've been, the last time I went snowboarding was last year I went for a bachelor party trip.
Oh, nice.
In Tahoe.
Nice.
That's what I did. This was last year in March. So it's been like a year and a half since I've done it. Yeah, about a year and a half.
Gotta get back out there, man.
Well, we have a trip lined up. I'm going with Mark and Elfie and his other buddy Nate, who's like a powder nerd. And yeah, we're going to Mammoth. This will be beginning of January. So yeah, nice. Only a few more weeks. And so it is nice to go out there once a year. But with the snow sports, they're also, I mean, it's worse than golf. It's actually worse than golf, which is crazy to think of because golf is already really bad.
I think once you have like your board and like all your equipment, you're fine. But then it's like
just the pass and the Airbnbs, I guess, that are super expensive.
It's you get cucked anytime that it's anywhere near a popular, like anytime there's a 3-day weekend,
yeah.
Like trying to rent a place, forget it. Like you're going to pay out the ass anywhere. That's like even a halfway decent location. You're paying out the ass. And also with snow sports, obviously it's very dependent on weather. Like, so the days that have good weather, unless you book it really far in advance, like if you're trying to do like a quick trip because the weather's good, you're going to get bent over because they know the weather's good. And the lift tickets, what I've learned about these lift tickets and why they've gone up so much is basically because private equity firms have bought these mountains. So like this is why
BlackRock, dude.
This is why Colorado, like it's all of the three major mountains are all owned by the same fucking company. So like it's like, yeah. And then guess what? Like, so now you have Big Bear and Mammoth. They used to be separate entities.
Yeah, now they're together.
But now they're together. Yeah. So then now guess what? It's turning to like Disneyland prices. So then what they try to get people to do is buy the fucking Icon Pass. You buy the Icon Pass, guess what? You know, you're going to snowboard for what? 4 months out of the year, maybe? Like, it's like, guess what? You're paying like $1,500 or some outrageous amount. And then plus, it's like, now you want to use it, but then now you're exposed to all the Airbnb prices. It's like, man, like, you could actually burn so much cash trying to do like 2 or 3 snow trips.
That's such a big turnoff.
That's the thing that drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Drives me crazy about, I like, don't get me wrong, like, if I had like a winter home or like, you know, something like that, or like even if you have a friend who has a place up there and it's just like open and available, I would love to go if it was like half as much money.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, trust me when I say the Airbnbs, like the lift tickets, like if you don't have the Icon Pass, it fucking adds up quick, like very, very quick. And of course, that's not including like all of the rent, like if you like the gear and stuff, which the gear is not very cheap at all either. But at least the one good thing is like very similar to golf, like the gear should last you a long time. That's like the one redeeming quality is that the equipment is fine. There's not that much innovation in snowboards.
Well, you know? It's not like you don't have to keep buying golf balls and gloves, do you? You can just...
No, not really. No. I mean,
you buy your stuff once.
The more common thing is that you like lose a glove or like you lose a liner. Like that's very common on a lift. Like sometimes you fucking drop it or like it's something rips on the glove, something like that. But like the boards are usually pretty well built, and the pants and jackets, like usually they're high quality enough. They're not like ripping or like losing their warmth or any weird things like that. But again, not very cheap, not very cheap at all. But yeah, I mean, I would like to look up what a 3-day lift ticket is now at Mammoth, because last time I checked, it was like 3 days. I think when I last went to Mammoth, which was like 3 or 4 years ago, I think I paid 3 days and it was like $289.
That's definitely a check out Costco.
It's like $100 a day.
And see if they have something.
But I mean, again, that's you buying the 3 day, like committing to 3 days, and you have to declare the dates.
That's true.
It's non-refundable, like... So yeah, it's not fun with that, but
oof. James, are you into any winter sports?
No. I've been snowboarding once. It was fun. So this is $460 or $500 for a 3-day.
Sounds about
December
right.
December Mammoth lift ticket for an adult for 3 days.
Sounds about right.
It's on the low end, 460. On the high end, 575.
Yeah.
Like if you, fuck.
That's what I'm saying. So now this has turned, it used to be a thing where I was like every year, like I want to go at least once or twice.
Yeah. That seems like pretty low, like once or twice is not a lot, you know?
But now, I mean, I just, and I haven't looked for this very reason because I know it's going to be a lot. And now, but I know it, now it's at the point where I'm like, you know, if I go every other year, I'm totally happy with that, especially because I love golfing so much and I do want to like golf as much as possible. But the snow trips, like they hurt, man. They hurt the bank account a lot. They really, really do. Mm-hmm. Cause yeah, I mean, Airbnb, you know, whatever, we split it fucking three ways. It's still going to be $300, $300 there, $400 lift ticket, meals. Like, oh, all of a sudden, you know, now you're like, yeah, you're approaching $600-$700 territory. Easy. Easy. Yeah. That's not including like your gas and it's like food, anything else that you buy out there. Yeah, that'll increase your experience. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just, it's too much. It really is. And the right way to do it, the truth is to get the Icon Pass. But then if you get the Icon Pass, you're committing to at minimum three trips in a season.
Is that kind of the break even?
Yeah.
Three day trips?
Yeah.
The break even?
Pretty much.
That's not that bad, dude. I think you could do that.
Yeah, but again,
there's like a weird pressure though of like now that you have the pass of like gotta use it.
Yeah,
that feeling of like I gotta get my fucking nut out of this thing.
The truth is though, the reason why I don't do it is because okay, it's three to break even, right? But so then you only really get value so if you take four, five, or six trips. But then you think about all of the Airbnb costs. Like yeah, it's and then that's a bunch of money. But then the annoying thing is that like okay, like those fourth, fifth, and sixth trips, it's like you're still paying an already absurd price, even if you divided up all the days that you boarded and what you paid. It's like you're still paying, you like if the pass is what, $1,200, $1,300, and you went and you had 14 snow days, which is a lot. It's like you're still paying $100 a day, which is basically like, that's still like me playing golf at like the nicest, like one of the nicer places for like $100. So it's a very, very similar cost. So it's like, oh man, it's like, it's just, yeah, snow sports, they're driving me crazy.
I mean, we're not touching on anything new here. I feel like snow sports have always been expensive though.
Yeah.
Like, historically, they're known to be a rich man's sport.
Nah, see, it truly was different though when it was Bear and Mammoth were separate owners. It really was different. I promise you, the cost was not as bad as it is now.
But I'm not saying just lift tickets, like the gear and all that stuff. The whole surrounding thing has always been expensive.
The gear, yes.
Because it's an inconvenient sport to do. Yes. Fucking go way out there and do it.
But man, the lift tickets are, it used to be a thing where it wasn't that bad. I remember in college, I had a Mammoth pass and it was like $400 and it was like unlimited, like, because it was like a college deal or whatever. But now it's
like a no brainer.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. So it's like, you go like two or three trips and it's like, dude, it's so much fun. And like, whatever, in college, it's like, you know, whatever. It's like everyone's single. It's like everyone splits it a bunch of different ways. One guy, it's like
just
easy.
Sucking and fucking. What? Huh?
Yeah, I mean, I just.
How far is Mammoth?
Mammoth should be about, I want to say 6 to 7 hours.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I had a guy I used to work with.
Bam.
Years ago.
Maybe it's closer to six.
It looks like about six. Right now.
Yeah.
Traffic or whatever.
I had a guy I used to work with years ago that people would say we looked alike. So I would give him my ID to go buy a Bear pass because I was under like 21 or whatever and it was like cheaper. And then he's like, yeah, you can just use it whenever you want. I think I used it like once the whole time.
But he got a discount because
he got a discount because I was under 21. Yeah.
It was like a win-win.
And the day I used it, his pass wasn't supposed to work that day, but no one was checking passes. And then this one time they come by and checked, like, oh, you're not supposed to be here. I'm like, I've been here all fucking day and no one's told me anything. And then now you're trying to tell me like that, like I'm here on the wrong day.
You had a blackout day or something?
Why couldn't it was you like, go? He got the pass where you only went like Monday through Friday or like Monday through Thursday. And I went on the weekend.
He's a cheap ass. He used that and the discount on the underage. Like, dude, spent $50.
That's still not as crazy as, When Dungan was back living back here, he had that cabin in Brianhead, and like it was just like at least like eight of us went up to his cabin, and Matt Green was with us, and we were in, of course it's Utah, right? So he tries to, you know, he's been boarding. It's like lunchtime. He's tired. He's like, oh, man, like, I just want a drink. So he goes to the bar. He's like, yeah, can I get a shot of Fireball? And then the guy's like, oh, what would you like to eat with that? And he just goes, what?
Another shot of Fireball?
He's like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, you have to order food because it's fucking Utah. They don't just like let you drink. So he's like, I don't know, man. You guys have chicken wings? So this guy brings him out some buffalo wings and a Fireball shot for lunch. It was like the most legendary thing.
That's funny.
Man, fuck that, though.
I'm like, what do you want to eat for lunch today? Because I just want the shot.
Yeah, seriously. It was actually really funny, too, because we brought beer from Vegas. Because we were like, dude, I'm not trying to drink like 3% beer when I'm out in Utah. And yeah. So we had this like strong ass beer and we gave some to like some like local like teens out there that were boarding. And they were like so jazzed to be drinking fucking like real beer. It was so funny. They were like, thanks, dudes.
Let's wrap it.
All right. Yep.
Let's wrap it like a Christmas gift.
Wrap it like a Christmas gift. What do you think your rapping skills are at, James? You a good rapper?
8.6.
Damn, that's pretty high good. Praise. Rob, what about you?
My mom taught me.
I can get by.
Really? See, I would put mine at like -3. I'm terrible at rapping. Oh my God.
You're going to have to rap everything.
Oh, she raps everything, dude. You know, chicks love that shit. But anyways, this has been episode
83. Now, when you got to do 100 of it, it just sucks.
This has been episode 83 of the Bump and Run Boys podcast. Leave a like. Let us know if you enjoyed this episode. This is Blake Ross,
your boy Rob,
and Goose.
Peace.
Peace. Peace.